Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Chapter 15, verse 1. Achar Dvarim Ela Ayan Dvar Hashem El Avram. After these things, Hashem spoke to Avram b'machazeh, in a type of vision, a prophecy. Okay, Lemur, he said to him, Al Tira Avram, don't fear Avram, Anoichi Magen Lach, I am your shield. Secharcha be'mod. Your reward is very great. Okay, a lot to talk about here. I don't think we're going to cover it all today, but as an introduction, Al Tira, Avram, don't fear. And why should Avram fear? Well, Rashi says he feared he might have killed somebody innocent, you know, or somebody that had potential to be good, or they'll have descendants that would be good, and Hashem assured him, no. Also, don't worry about people taking vengeance on you. You know, they might get together again, some other kings, take vengeance, no. But, in a more spiritual sense, Avram was fearful that he used up all his merits. Okay? Now, the question on that is the following. We know a rule, schar mitzvah b'hai almaleka. There's no such thing as reward for a mitzvah in this world. So how could Avram fear that he used up all his merits? In other words, all the reward for his mitzvahs was paid to him in this world by this, because it was a tremendous, miraculous victory by way of nature. There's no way him and Eliezer can defeat four kings. Okay? So, but what about this? Schar mitzvah b'hai almaleka. No such thing as reward for a mitzvah in this world. So why did Avram fear that he used up his mitzvahs? Because there is one reward that you can get in this world for mitzvahs. Remember the Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers. Yafesh ha'achad b'tshuva ma'isim toivim b'olam hazeh mikol chayei olam haba. One moment of doing tshuva, repentance, and good deeds, mitzvahs in this world, is worth more than all the next world. Okay? So if you're given life, which is, as the way Avraham Avinu uses it, is spiritual, the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, that can be payment for mitzvahs, because you have an opportunity to do more mitzvahs. Okay? And that's what Avraham was given, because according to the way of nature, if you will, b'derech hateva, Avraham should have been dead. He should have been killed. So perhaps he got paid for his mitzvah. So Hashem tells him, no, your reward is going to be great. And he says this word, Anoichi Magen Lach, this phrase rather, I am going to be your shield. Now from here, our Shmona Esrei, we already talked about this in our opening vort with Hanukkah, right? The Magen. Hashem is the shield of Avraham. He shields that little pencil in every us. This is where we get the first blessing in the Shmona Esrei, Magen Avraham. Okay? Now, you might want to ask, why is there no mention of Magen, a shield, by Yitzchak and Yaakov? Why only Avram? Because Avram's midah is chesed. Yitzchak is gevura, strength, inner strength. Yaakov is emes, truth. But chesed, a person who does chesed, loving kindness, is always looking out for others, always doing for others. Well, he could be subject to being taken advantage of. He needs protection. He needs a shield. A person of chesed, who's always given, can be taken advantage of. So Hashem has given him a protection. I think that's from the Kotzker Rebbe. A lot to talk about this. We'll have to continue. Hold on one second, though. Wait, when it says Avram was fearful that he used up his merits and mitzvahs, he didn't care about himself. Don't get me wrong. He understood the concept that we live off of zchus avos. We live off of the merits of our fathers, especially Avram, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We live off their merits. We continually pray to Hashem, continually slichus, all these times, schus avos, the merits of our fathers. So he understood if he used up these merits in the war, that his children will have no protection. Us, the descendants, are going to be much weaker in later generations that are going to rely on schus avos for our survival. So that's what he was concerned about. So that's very important. Where we last left off, chapter 15, verse 2, right? We just defeated, Avram just defeated the four kings. He comes back, the king of Sodom, Mitzam, Malkisedek, who is Shem ben Noah, right, Mitzam, and Avram refuses to take any spoils of the war to the king of Sodom, he says this to, and as far as Shem, the son of Noah, he tells him that he does not want, Shem ben Noah tells him he's not upset, basically, that he killed his son, number one, we learn, and number two, we learn that Malkitzedek lost his kahuna. He was the Kohen, but because he praised Avram first and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu, instead of the reverse order, he loses the kahuna. And Avram, in a certain sense, becomes the first Kohen, if you will. Okay, so now we will pick up from there. Chapter 15, verse 2. By Yomer Avram, Hashem Elokim matitenli vanoichi holech ariri. Hashem just promised Avram, do not fear. I skipped that, I'm sorry. Do not fear, right, I'll be your shield. Because Avram might have feared that there would be a retaliation of these other kings. He feared maybe he killed some innocent people. Right, maybe there was future descendants from these people who would become righteous or convert. Right, very reminiscent, by the way, in a couple of weeks in the Torah portion where it says Moshe looked to here and to there, and then he killed the Mitzrim. And he says he saw ki ein ish, there is not a man. What does that mean? It means he saw that this guy had no righteous ancestors, right? That maybe in their merit he should spare his life. And he had no righteous descendants coming from him. And therefore he killed the Egyptian. This is the Egyptian who was beating the Jews. So that's all in itself, by the way, a lesson. If we ever see somebody, that's one of the answers of the question, why do you see wicked people prosper? It could be they're getting paid off for some mitzvahs they did, or their ancestors, or the fact that they may have a righteous descendant. So God spares judgment on them. And we see this actually with Avram and Lot and Moab, right? Hashem like spares Lot. One of the reasons is because Rus was going to come from Moab, who comes from Lot. So in that future merit, that was enough to help Lot out. So here, at any rate, going back to our storyline, Hashem tells Avram, do not fear. You did not kill anybody that had any sort of righteousness. And your reward will be very great. And now Avram says, Yom Avram, Hashem Elokim, matitenli, what are you going to give me? Banochi olech uriri. I'm, you know, barren. In other words, no matter how much you give me, whatever reward, it doesn't mean anything to me if I don't have a son to give over the legacy of the belief in one God. In other words, to continue the nation of Israel, someone, a legion of God, that will continue to serve you. That's what's important to me. Your name, your sacred name, that it goes on in the world and there's somebody out there to proclaim it. Okay? So what can you give me if I'm barren? Uben Meshek Basi Hu Damesek Eliezer. And, you know, the main guy of my household is this guy, Damascus, it was the word Damascus, Eliezer. Some people say he was from Damascus. Some people say Eliezer was the king of Nimrod. It was his son. Now, Nimrod is one of these kings, by the way. He is Amraphel, I believe. He's one of these, the four kings battle of the five kings. So, and he was still looking to get vengeance on Avram. We talked about this because, you know, Avram slugged him up. He threw him into the furnace. You know, Nimrod for Avram and the Verge came out alive, you know, didn't make him look too good. So at any rate, but Nimrod was smart enough to realize that Avram and what he represents is the truth, and he didn't want his son to grow up in his household. Very reminiscent, we talked about this with Hagar, right? Better be a servant in Avram's house than a princess in my court. Same thing with Nimrod, with Eliezer. Now, the only problem here, Avram is saying Eliezer is not good enough. I just want you to know what Eliezer was about. He's one of nine people to enter Gan Eden alive. That's how righteous he was. I don't know what that means. It says when he goes out on that famous Shlichus, on the messenger service of getting a wife for Yitzchak, right? You remember? He's the one that sent. When Laban sees him, he thinks it's Avraham. Their faces look similar. The fact that Laban thought Eliezer was Avraham because he physically resembled him doesn't mean anything in itself. What it means is, if he physically resembled him, obviously that must mean spiritually he resembled Avraham. That's what it means. That's what the Torah is trying to tell us, that he had such a righteousness. So anyways, but despite that, despite who Eliezer was, that wasn't good enough. And the reason is Eliezer is not good enough to carry on the legacy is the same reason we have in our Shemona Esrei, right? We say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? And the questions I ask, why don't we just say Elokei Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov? So each one paved a new path on how to serve God. So that's three distinct things. Each one is important. In other words, the greatness of Yitzchak was he could have just been a parrot and copied everything Avram did. You'll appreciate this, right? What he did, his genius was he adhered to the traditions of his father Avram and at the same time blazed a new path to serve God called Gevurah, while Avram was Chesed. That was his way of, like a strictness, a judgment, an inner strength, a discipline, a very good word. Yaakov's greatness was he didn't deviate from the path of his grandfather and father, Avraham and Yitzchak. He adhered to their traditions, but at the same time found a new path to serve God. And that was this Tiferes, splendor, MS, truth. Very, all these, by the way, are reflected, parallel to what's called the Spheres. These mystical emanations, you know, there's very mystical stuff here. So what's the problem? So we send the Shemona Esrei, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, God of Yitzchak, and God of Yaakov, these three tremendous pillars on how to serve God. And then we say, we continue, our God. We have to relate to God, in other words, in two ways. We have to relate to Him, one, as the God of our fathers, right? And also our God, our personal connection. That's very important. Okay, you can't have one without the other. It's very important, our chain link to Mount Sinai, what we call the Masorah, that we, you know, always relate to our ancestry. But at the same time, that's not good enough. You have to have your personal relationship with God. It's a very important thing for to get the, like, the spirit of the law of Judaism. So domestic Eliezer, those two words tells you why Eliezer cannot be the heir apparent of Avraham. Let's look at Rashi. What does it mean? We gave one interpretation. Domestic can mean literally the town, Damascus, where he's from. Rashi says it has some other meanings. Okay? So first thing he says, Lefiatagum Medamesic, that he was from Damascus. Fine. Okay. The Lefiah Medrash, Medrash Agada, he quotes the Medrash, Rashi, Sharadav HaMalachim Ad-Damesek, right? That Avram and Eliezer, they chased these kings until Damascus, the territory of Dan, and there they saw future sins of the Jewish people. Their strength was weakened. Remember we talked about this? Okay, so Eliezer got that nickname, Damascus, because that's what they chased him to. Okay, and Gemara Shalano and Agamora, Darshu, they give a third reason for this name, Damesek, and they say it's like an, not exactly an acronym, I don't know, but it's a play on words, if you will. Doyle Umashke, that's what it means. Damascus means Doyle Umashke Meteris Rabo Lacherim, that like he took and gave to drink to others the Torah of his Rav, Avraham. In other words, he was the main disciple of Avraham. Right? Which is gvaltic, it's great. But at the same time tells you why he can't be the heir apparent. Because he's a parent. He's fantastic. There's no one here today like him. Right? But he didn't blaze a new trail in serving God. Okay? So that's to his credit. it's praising him here, but by that same token, it's also a reason why he cannot be, you know, the next patriarch, if you will. And by the way, you find this, in other words, Pinchas, he's fantastic, he was a zealot, he killed two people, he stopped the plague, right, as to his credit, and it calls him that he was zealous for God. But those same words tell us why he couldn't be the leader of the Jewish people. It says Moshe feared that Pinchas would be the next leader of the Jewish people because he's too far removed. He's a zealot. And you need someone, you know, like a Yeshua, you know, who can relate to the people. Pinchas is so far removed. You know who Pinchas is. Pinchas is Eliyahu. They're the same person. Yeah, they're the same person. Yeah, Pinchas is Eliyahu. So, and he was a zealot when he was Eliyahu, too. So, you know, he was always a zealot, which is fantastic, and he was the leader as Eliyahu, but at that period of time they needed a Yeshua. So again, the Torah is telling you a praise here of Eliezer, but at the same time it's kind of hinting to you why he cannot be the heir apparent of Abraham. The spiritual mission has to be by someone who's going to pave a new path, again, still not contradicting and adhering to the traditions of the past. We'll stop the question. Alright, let's go on. Verse 3, Gimel, Vayomer Avram Hen Li. Gimel, Vayomer Avram Hen Li Lo Nasata Zara. Right, you have not given me seed, and now I'm giving me child. Vinei Ben Besi Yoresh Oisi. And look, you know, the like the servant of my household, my Ben Bias here, he is going to inherit everything I have, and we just discussed why that's not good. Okay, verse Dalin. V'inei devar Hashem alav lemor. So Hashem said to Avram the following: Lo yirash chazeh. Don't worry. This guy is not going to be the one that's going to inherit from you. Now, when we're saying here, we're talking about the spiritual. Avram's not concerned about who gets his money. Okay, we're talking about the spiritual Yerusha, if you will. It says, Ki im asher yetze memeecha hu yirashecha. A guy who's going to, the person's going to come out of your loins. In other words, if your flesh and blood, he's going to be the one that's going to inherit, or in our terms, going to be the next patriarch of Israel. Okay, now, listen to this. Very significant. Pasuk Hey. Vayotzei aso achutza. He took Avram outside. Right there, the Gemara goes into detail what these three words mean. Yotzei aso achutza. Listen to Rashi. Lefi pshuto, according to the simple meaning of the text, hotziu me'olo, he took him out of his tent, lochutz, to the outside, their oisa kochavim, to look at the stars. And then he said to him, you know, look at the stars, and your people are going to be many, as many of the stars. Okay, that's the simple meaning of this word, achutza. Achutza means to go out. Okay, v'lefi midrasho, but according to the medrash, says Rashi, it means the following. Amar lo, Hashem said to Avram, Se me'astag ninois shalcha, go out from your astrology, your mazel. A mazel is a star, a constellation. Okay, when we say mazel tov, it's interesting. Okay, go out from that. Shira'iti b'mazolos, mazel. I saw in the constellation, she'eincha ati lamid ben Avram. Excuse me, eincha lamid ben. That I saw in the constellation that it's destined that Avram is not going to give birth to a child. Right? Avram ain't no ben. There's no child destined for Avram. Aval Avraham yeshlo ben. Okay? Veken Sarai. And the same with Sarai. Lo teled. There's no destined child for Sarai. Aval Sarah teled. But Sarah, there will be a child. I'm going to call you a different name. And that will change the mazel. It will change the constellation. Okay. Now, this is extremely significant because there's a debate in the Gemara. Ein mazel b'Yisrael. Which means there's no such thing as predestiny for Israel, for a Jew. Okay? Ein mazel b'Yisrael. So, the Gemara says, yes, there is mazel. It goes back and forth. It comes out, ein mazel b'Yisrael. There's no such thing. What does it mean? It means there is a destiny for the individual Jew, but we're not locked into it. We can change it by doing mitzvahs, by doing tzedakah, right, by with Torah. Why? Because all these are lamala meteba. They're above time. Torah, anything you lock into Torah, mitzvahs, davening, tefillah, in other words, you're locking on to God, then you're locking on to eternity, beyond this world, beyond destiny, before, the cause of all destiny, and therefore it makes sense if you lock into something like that, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can change your destiny. There are many stories told about this, which I'm going to tell you in a second, but that, this is very symbolic. The Jew is never tied in if he's born with bad character traits like King David. So King David looked like Esav. He looked like a bloodshedder full of lust and all these things. And Hashem told the prophet Samuel, no, don't worry, he has Yafel Naim, which was a metaphor that he'll do all his killing by way, he'll channel all these drives in Avodas Hashem, in the service of God. Okay, so we're not tied in. We go beyond our nature. We have the capability. And this is the survival of the Jewish people. We're born from the very beginning to beat the odds. 100-year-old man, 90-year-old woman who are incapable of having children. Sarah Imenu, our mother Sarah, to such an extent, if you look at in Noah, it says about Sarah, Ein la vlad, she had no womb. Chapter 11, verse 30. Fatihi Sarah kar, she was barren. Not only that, Ein la vlad, she had no, physically it was impossible. And that tells you the story of the Jewish people. From the inception, the Jewish people, the next generation, Avram, the next generation, Yitzchak, he was born completely miraculous to symbolize the whole concept of the Jewish people's miraculous, our survival. That we shouldn't even be here. We should have not, Yitzchak shouldn't have come into the world according to the laws of nature, and so too, the Jewish people by laws of nature should not be here. No, go out from nature. Go out from constellation. You, Israel, you're not locked into it because Yisrael is my name I attach to you, says God. Kel is attached to it. Right? Therefore, you're beyond all these and you can survive all these things. I'm going to tell you a couple stories and references, but we'll take some questions. Think about this. Okay, for a sick person who's close to death, we do that change of name so in case, you know, death is decreed on him, maybe it won't be decreed on this new entity because a name, again, describes the neshama. Right? As far as what you're asking about the barrenness of a woman changing her name, I haven't heard of. What we do find out is that sometimes there's a few things that can change it. A change of name is one. A change of place. Mm-hmm. Right? If you weren't destined here, especially going to Israel, okay. Right? We find this out with Avraham and Sarah, that her barrenness is started over again. The count is started over again, so to speak. You move to Israel because maybe the merit of Israel, again, that's a merit, it's a mitzvah to live in Israel, that could change the destiny. Right? And then there's acts of mitzvahs, tzedakah, and so forth. Now, we have an incident. Rabbi Akiva's daughter was destined to die. The Gemara brings it down when we're talking about this Ein Mazal Yisrael. She was destined, I don't know if you know, familiar with this story, it was her chuppah, the day of her chasna, the day of her wedding. And everybody was extremely busy in the house, and a poor person came to the door, and no one took the time to take care of this poor person. So she took her plate of food, her lunch basically, and gave it to him. And while she was giving it to him, I believe the story goes, she took like a pin that was holding her hair up, I guess, a long pin, and she had stuck it in the wall, you know, this is a place to keep it for a second, right? So she gave the poor person the food, and then when she took the pin out of the wall, attached to the end of it, the pointed end, she dragged out a snake, and she had pierced it in the head and killed it. Rabbi Akiva saw that, and he said, tell me, my daughter, what good deed did you do today? She just told him, you know, the story, you know, about this poor person. And he said, you know, tzedakah tatzil mamavis. We also learned about that tzedakah saves one from death. And that even though her mazel, a mazel be Yisrael, even though her mazel was destined, she died, she did an act of tzedakah, which, you know, that act, that righteous act, that mitzvah, changed her destiny. And there's another story. There's many stories told about this. Okay, that's one thing we learn from here. Now, another thing, if we go on, listen to this verse. It also, now we're going to learn about, according to what you're saying, they can do all the genetic restructuring they want. But the fact that we're a Jew and we can do mitzvahs, that's not going to lock us into a certain disposition. We're beyond that. And even more so, we're going to describe to you, okay, we just described why the Jewish people are eternal in a certain sense. Well, not in a certain sense, that is the sense. We are eternal, and they're born to beat the odds from the very beginning, right? We shouldn't be here, right? Now I'm going to tell you the integral part, the essence of a Jew, why that's so. It's reciprocal, okay? Go on with the verse. Look at it. It takes Avram outside. Vayomer, habet na hashamayama. Avram, look to the heavens. Uspor hakochavim. Count the stars. Im tuchal lispor osam. Are you able to count them? Vayomer lo, Hashem said to him, ko yezarecha. That's the way your children will be. Right? Now, listen to Rav Meir Shapira, how he reads this. Same verse. Takes him outside. Vayomer, habet na shemayma, look to the heavens. Spor kochavim, count the stars, Avraham. What does Avraham start doing? Avraham starts counting the stars. Hashem says to him, in tuchal lispor oisam, can you count them? What are you doing? Avraham said, you said count them. I said, in tuchal lispor oisam, is it possible to count stars? So Avraham says, no, but you said do it. I'm going to do it. Hashem says to him, ko yezarecha. That's the way your children are going to be. I'm going to ask them to do the impossible, to keep, to adhere to Torah and mitzvahs through pogroms, through inquisitions, through the Holocaust, through all these things. It gets impossible odds of assimilation, annihilation, and they're still going to be steadfast and loyal, devoted Jews. Aye, it's impossible. Everybody's going with the times. How can you do it? How can you go against the wave of society and culture? You know, how can you do it? From Avraham. It doesn't matter. Hashem, you said do it. It seems impossible. It's none of my business. All my business is to try, to do the effort. The results, that's your business. That's your problem, not mine. That's what it is. Count the stars, Avraham. It's impossible. What are you doing? You said do it. I'm going to try to do it. Ko yezarecha. That's the way your children are going to be. That's the eternity of the Jew. To do the impossible against all odds. The shemen, the oil, Hanukkah. Why even bother lighting it? It's not going to last 8 days. It's impossible. Why even bother? You said do it. I got to do what I got to do. That's a beautiful, beautiful insight of what the Jewish people are about. And Rav Bulman put it this way. While the non-Jewish world define their will by what they can do, the Yid determines what he can do by what his will is. Hey, by the way, that is what Nasa V'Nishma is all about. Nasa, what's Nasa V'Nishma? You know, that's the language the angels use. It made no sense. Hashem offered the Torah to every nation, and every nation said, what's in it? And he came to Israel, and we didn't say what's in it. We said, Nasa, we're going to do it. V'Nishma, and then we'll hear what's in it. What do you mean? I may ask you the impossible. How can a person say I'm going to do something without hearing what it is he has to do? You know, like I say, you know, you go up to, will you do me a favor? You say, well, let me hear what it is. You know, maybe you'll ask me to do the impossible. Not the Jewish people. God, if you want to give us something, we're going to do it. It may be impossible. It doesn't matter. If you said it, we're going to do it. Nasa is an illogical answer. It doesn't make sense. Right? Nasa, we'll do it and then we'll hear what it is. Okay, so that's the Jewish people. Okay, I'll tell you a story how a doctor became frum. This guy claimed he was an atheist, and this guy was in a coma. The patient was in a coma, and after a while, he made a decision to pull the plug on him. That patient, this is well documented, this patient appeared to him in a dream, and he said, had you left me on that life support system for another 2 weeks, the excruciating suffering I was going through would have cleansed me completely, and I would have had this tremendous level of Gan Eden, right. And he became the doctor became frum. So the answer is, those of you are in the Parsha, those of you in the Parsha class, I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow and tonight, God willing. But life is worth living in the worst of circumstances, because even through the, number one, the suffering and everything that a person's going to, as someone called me last night, their aunt's doing terrible, and she's nursing and everything, but all that suffering they're going through, the fact that they're suffering, that is so beloved in God's eyes. That's a service of God. I'll tell you a story in reference to that, number one. And number two, the very fact that you can be there and not complain against God and think about God, you're getting a mitzvah. Maybe you could say an amen, say a bracha, even if you can't do all that. The fact that you're staying there as a Jew and not doing any violations of the Torah, every moment you're not even pig meat, you get a mitzvah. And so we have no concept of eternity, that you get eternity for every moment of life. I'll tell you a quick story. There was a guy that was praying in a shtibol of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So the kids, I'll just tell real quick. So every day he was praying, he says, Shem, I love your Torah, I love your mitzvahs and your davening, but what can I do? I have, you know, all 12 kids and, you know, my wife, and I have no ways, you know, I'm working 18 hours a day to support and put bread on the table. He says, you know, like, maybe like one day a year, I go to the marketplace and give me a profit like of 1,000 rubles. I'll spend the rest of the year learning your Torah and doing your mitzvahs in tranquility and peace. Will be gewaltig. And this scene repeated itself for a few days. He did not know, he did this at the end of davening, didn't know Rav Levi Yitzchak was in the back of the shul, he heard him. So one day Rav Levi Yitzchak exposed himself and he said, he exposed that he was there listening to him, and he said to him, he says, you want to know what a Kodesh Baruch Hu responded to your prayers? The guy says, yeah. So Hashem says, he doesn't need your Torah. He doesn't need your mitzvahs and you're doing your davening in peace and tranquility. What he needs from you is that broken heart, that you're working and you're aching and your desire to do his will and to learn, right? Despite your poverty, despite your afflictions and your suffering, that is more valuable in his eyes than any Torah you could be learning in peace and tranquility. Now, so we have no idea a person beset with tremendous, real, major death, you know, threatening afflictions and just hanging in there and serving God in his own way, which could be just not complaining and not questioning God's judgment. That service to God could be more valuable in God's eyes than someone learning Torah for 20 hours a day. That's his individual. Everybody has their unique way of serving God. That is his way of serving God. That's what God destined for him. So, a lot to discuss, but it's a whole Pandora box in itself. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like a good thing to say. Another thing in reference to this, some people say this verse is telling us that the stars, that we're compared to the stars. What does that mean? If you look at the stars, they look like specks here from Earth. But up there, you know, they are like worlds all to themselves, right? So, right, in the eyes of heaven, each Jew is a world to himself. And we have no concept how important every single Jew is. Okay, while down here on Earth, you know, the non-Jewish world, they look at us, you know, as like little specks. Okay, that's another symbolic meaning. Also, some people say this happened during the day. So, that doesn't make sense. So only, you know, count the stars. So there's only one star out during the day. I mean, that we can see, right? And that is the sun. So that's also representative that Israel may not be many, right? But in quality and virtue, we outshine all the other stars of the world. You know, we are the light to the nations, as it says in Isaiah. Okay? All right. Question? The words of Chazal, by the way, I just will read it to you. It's good to know. Ein mazel b'Yisrael, da ayedei tefila v'schus mishtane hamazel. By way of prayer and merit, doing mitzvahs, you can change your mazel. And that's what it means. V'yotzeh chutza. He went outside, he went out of his destiny, so to speak, his locked-in destiny. Now, this is important. This is why we pray. Because the big question would be, right, like, if Hashem knows I need it, he'll give it to me anyways. And if I'm not deserving, it's not going to do any good to pray. So why do we pray for things? So one answer is we pray for things because it makes us a different person. And it makes us a better person. We're locking in the fact, it's, I know everything I can possibly need or want, it only can come from you. You're the only answer. Ah, you recognize that? You've embedded a certain amount of emunah into you. You're a different person than you were 3 minutes ago when you stepped up to pray to me. Now maybe you merit this thing, right? Because you got this additional merit of emunah, so to speak. The other thing is that prayer is a we have no idea. You know, we have no concept how powerful prayer is. And prayer is very powerful, and you can get things. It says even a thief who's stealing and prays to God to grant him success, his prayers could be answered, and God will protect him. Now, by the way, this is a secret, by the way, that you have to be very careful what you pray for. That's why you have to be very careful what you pray for. That's why we say a lot of times at the end of prayers, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. You know, in other words, you answer my prayers as you see fit, God. That's something you should always like add at the end of your prayers, because I may be asking something that's detrimental to me. Right, and that's very important. For example, let's say on shidduchim, you're going out on dates, you know, as a young person, or as an older person, whatever. So you never say, make this work, make the shidduch work. I want to marry him or her. Never say that. Even though in your eyes it may seem proper, you have no idea it could be the worst thing in the world for you. You know, you can say a prayer like, if this is meant to be my besher, this is my destined mate, help me not blow it. You know, something like, or let it go smooth, or let me see it clearly, or something like that. But never ask that this work, because you don't know, it could be worse. So that's very important. There's a genuine kayach, a power in tefillah, and it can be answered even if it's for our detriment. So we have to keep that in mind. Okay, now, one more verse. Well, I want to stop at Shishi today, if you don't mind. Okay, Vav. Ve'emin b'Hashem, and Avram believed in God. Again, to back up a second, Hashem basically promised Avram that, yes, you are going to have a son, basically. You're going to have Yitzchak, is what it's going to end up being, right? And, you know, and he will inherit that spiritual legacy and so forth and so on. And when Avram hears this, his response is, verse 6, Ve'emin b'Hashem, he believed God, v'yachshveha lo tzedakah, and was counted to him as a tzedakah. A very confusing verse. What does it mean? Well, let's look at Rashi. Ve'emin b'Hashem, Rashi, lo sha'alo eis alzois. He didn't ask Hashem, you know, give me a sign that this will happen. No, he believed him, right? Aval Yerusha Sa'aretz, when it came to the inheritance of the land of Israel, Avram asked, Bamaida, how will I know? How will I know my children will not forfeit? Their sins will not wipe out this promise. And Hashem told him, the korbanos, the sacrifices, you know, even you know that merit of sacrifices. And Avram said, well, what about the time I see there's going to be a time when the holy temple is destroyed? And Hashem said, I'm going to give him a replacement for sacrifices. Davening. Again, davening. The power of davening. And by that, they'll always merit the land of Israel. But here, he didn't ask for a sign. He believed in Hashem that he will have descendants. Now, what is this? Vayachshvei halo tzedakah. And he counted it to him as a tzedakah. Who counted it to who as a tzedakah? HaKadosh, says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashva l'Avram l'schus l'tzedakah ala amuna she'imin bo. Avram counted it to Avram as a merit in his stead, and a tzedakah that he believed in Hashem. Hashem said, you believed in me? That's a big merit for you. You believed and didn't ask a sign, you know, for me to prove it? That's a big sign. Dabar acher, or a different way of looking at this. Bama eda lo shalo eis. Eila amalav navo di eini be eizes chus. Okay, so that's what we already said with the land of Israel. But I heard a beautiful insight from the Chiddushi Arim, who says the following, that really, that it says, it's all going on Avraham, this verse, both parts of it. Rashi learns the first part of the verse is Avraham believed in Hashem. The second part, that Hashem counted to Avraham as a tzedakah, that he believed in him. So I believe the Chiddushi Arim learns it all on Avraham. Avram, they mean b'Hashem. He believed in God. And Avram vayachshvea lo tzedakah. Avram considered it a tzedakah. Hashem, you gave me charity, enabling me, giving me the intelligence and the faith to believe in you. That, I say, even that ability to believe in you, I thank you, Hashem, and that I consider it a blessing. Which tells you that anything we have, okay, so we know everything we have physically, we have to come on to Hashem and thank Him for it. But everything we have spiritually that we think that we worked on, that I believe in you, God, I have to thank you, God, that I believe in you, that I didn't get, you know, brainwashed and propagandized out there by that crazy world, you know, of looking at everything as cause and effect. There really is such a thing as cause and effect. God caused it and caused all the effect. Okay? So it's like the Big Bang Theory, they say. There's such a thing. God said bang, and there it is. It happened. So anyways, that's a very big lesson. The fact that you gave me a muna, right? Any spiritual level that we have, that's a tzedakah you gave me, Hashem. And especially in this day and age, they say anybody, my Rebbe used to tell us this, anybody who can learn a word of Torah today, in this day and age, should give a big teidah rabbah, a big thank you to Hashem every day. And anybody who's a Shomer Shabbos today, I heard this one on Rebbein Rob Roseman, is going to get the same seat in Gan Eden as some of those huge Rebbeim that we learn about, like Rabbi Akiva Eger. Because they didn't have the tests we do. We're in a much lower generation. You know, so we always talk about what a low generation we are, it can work to our benefit. The fact that we still are hanging tight with Yiddishkeit, despite our level, we get tremendous merit. Okay, I think that's all for today. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. We'll pick up with Shishi, chapter 15, verse 7. You'll enjoy it. Verse 5, when it says, Ko Yezarecha, it's very interesting. Ko Yezarecha, that's the way your children will be. Ko, numerical value, 25. Avram is 75 years old. He's telling him, Ko, in 25 years, Yezarecha. In 25 years, when you're 100, you'll give birth to your seed. That is from who? That's the, actually, that's a Baal Turim. That's a Baal Turim.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.